Welcome to the Reliability Revolution podcast number 3. I'm Andrew Cook.
And I'm Jake Ford.
And today we're accompanied by our first guest speaker on the podcast, Rade Ivetic.
I'm Rade Ivetic. I run a company for providing services in vibration analysis and soft alignment. And also, I'm a distributor of CTC, SAT, DC laser, and another thing.
Thank you for joining us today, Rade. I know that I just spent all last week with Jake in the UK, and now I'm going to be visiting with you, traveling around Serbia. It's going to be a great week, and I can't wait for it. But I'm really excited for everybody tuning into the podcast to learn from you about reliability in the market of Serbia, what you've seen in the past, how it's evolved. I know we've had some conversations since I've been here about time phase based condition monitoring or reliability, progressing that over time. I'm sure Jake has some experiences with that too over in the UK as well. So the first topic today that we really want to talk about is the time-based maintenance in Serbia, right?
Yeah. Got it. Well, let's start 30 years ago when time-based maintenance was good in Serbia, you know? And as it changed, no one has to do so. There any better way to provide maintenance? So they're really focusing on time-based maintenance. Now they have 1 or 2 downtime a year, and things going in that way.
What started to change the culture of reliability in Serbia away from time-based maintenance? So there are a lot of companies now using like vibration analysis, laser alignment, and all those other.
Actually, it's small number of company who actually provide condition based maintenance, but most of them are focused on time based maintenance. Now, when I come to my customers and start talking about condition monitoring, they said, "Okay, where I touch the motor or bearings, I know it's 60K, it's not, but I spend really much time to educate my customers about benefits of condition monitoring."
So when you're talking with customers, Rade, and they're doing this time-based maintenance and they're touching machines and, you know, they're not really active in, you know, what we would call IoT 3.0 or even 4.0 be the newest. Jake, are you seeing kind of the same thing in the UK at all with your customers?
So the times moved on a lot here. That kind of attitude you talk about is something I seen when probably I started, if not before. We found a lot of, especially the mechanical fitters, the people who repair the machines, a lot of them believe they have the magic touch and can detect any fault with a finger. Now, that's not to say that it's a terrible thing, but because it was obviously the way to go before this technology was available. Now, as times moved on in the UK, we found more and more people adopting condition monitoring. My dad, for example, he's been doing it since 1980s kind of era. And it was a lot slower back then, you know, ticker tape out of a machine and scanning it in and plotting it. And it was a long drawn out process. So really only extremely critical machines were done. Now that technology is a lot quicker and we can get potentially hundreds of assets done in a day, we found a much higher uptake, especially I think the pandemic really drove a lot of companies into condition monitoring because their maintenance teams were being shrunk down and there wasn't enough staff to be doing the time-based kind of maintenance. And it was really hard to get hold of companies to come in and contract. A lot of people went down, the calling us in, starting some more vibration rolling. And we found a lot of people to actually have continued that now we're kind of post-pandemic scenario. So it's definitely had a big push in the past 10 years and certainly in the past few years over the pandemic is gone absolutely through the roof. We find ourselves incredibly busy where I work, but you still do get, especially a certain generation of people who will touch it and say, no, there's nothing wrong with that bearing. I can't feel it. I can't hear it. So there's nothing wrong with it. And obviously that can be not very indicative of the actual situation going on in that motor, especially if we're looking at early stage. As you said, there's often only one or two shutdowns on some of these sites a year, and to risk waiting until you can feel or hear something, which is right down,
you know, it's funny
curve, it's just risky.
It's funny that you also see that in the UK, and when I talk to people around the world, I hear different regions sometimes having more town-based meetings. Some regions having less of it. It's all about culture, you know? It is about culture. And so last week, when Jake and I were at Maytac together, we were with my dad at the trade show, and I overheard a conversation he had with someone. This gentleman had come up to the booth, and he looked at our array of accelerometers, and he picked up one of the sensors, and he looked at it, and he goes, "These things are accelerometers, right?" My dad said, "Yes, they are. Are you familiar with vibration analysis, condition monitoring?" "Yeah, they have." And he goes, "Oh, I know what it is, but I don't believe in that. I listen to the sound of my machines, touch them, and if I could smell something funny, then I know it's time." But kind of like you were saying earlier, like, braille, that is
weird. Yeah, but people for making us should be our best friend for years, and cooperation with them, we have to reach our goals.
That's true. And it's about that, in essence, culture, time.
Yeah. For example, one customer, well, at the beginning of my company, you know, I had hard times for reach out customers, and I realized that I have to change my approach to them. And usually I offer measurement, you know, just to show them how things are going. And for one customer, I spent literally 1 year of free measurements. And funny thing, in January this year, I got text message early in the morning, maintenance manager from the company, and he said, "We have to sign a contract as soon as possible." And I was, "Thank you, God. I reached my goal." So it's a hard time, but I think for every customer, you have to find out a specific approach, you know? But demo measurements show good results to me.
And I think that's part of it too, right? Is people sometimes think that what we do for a living and trying to actually benefit companies, they look at it like black magic. And until you show them the benefit of it, they don't have the capability of fully realize.
Yeah, I think the whole black magic thing is, unfortunately, some people like to keep their collector close to their chest and not really show what's going on there. I firmly believe we should, as analysts, be showing our customers what we mean, not just tell them, okay, there's a bearing fault. Let's start explaining why we think there's a bearing fault, what is the waveform showing us, what is the spectrum showing us. And over time, or they may not understand at first, they will begin to learn and begin to know what you're talking about. And there's, going back to what you said before about these strategies to help the culture, there's definitely not a one size fits all in any scenario. We just need to approach each customer how they need to be approached. And
yeah, absolutely.
I just want to say, a few months ago, I met Arif Rahlavi from LGT, and he completely changed my view on the reliability and condition monitoring, you know, because in every company, you have three levels: maintenance, purchasing order, purchasing department, and managing department. All three key departments speaking different language, you know. Maintenance guy, it's all about the purchasing department, so money, and managing department, it's all about also money and some benefits. And we have to speak three different languages, you know, because guys for maintenance understand us really good. But if you go to some manager approach, like a maintenance guy, he says, "Okay, first I don't have time, and what I have, I got from your measurements, you know, I don't know what speaks, what spectrum, I'm not interested in that. Show me numbers, you know."
Yeah.
And metrics. Also, all about metrics. One major thing about reliability is lubrication. Harris asked one question, and I'll ask you right now, or you, how's lubrication is important for maintenance?
Yeah, I mean, so lubrication is essentially what helps your stay protected and keep moving. And we see a lot of problems with over lubrication and under lubrication because, you know, a lot of times you'll see guys walk around with a grease gun, especially if it's time phase, they just walk around and pump a certain number of JOs into your bearing housing. And there's no analysis on it as the correct level. And each bearing is like the human body, right? So it has a lifespan. And if you don't properly maintain that, you don't keep it healthy, you're going to have repercussions.
That is just the root of many other problems, you know? And another question. Okay, we agreed that lubrication is really important. Why do we lubricate? Simple question, right? You always say about to increase lifetime bearings and spare parts, right? But at the end of the day, yeah, we lubricate. It's all about money, you know, savings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
lubrication for me is really, really important.
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, we haven't really gone and delved into the lubrication topic as much here in the podcast. So it's great to have perspectives about that and to be able to share with everybody about proper lubrication. Jake, I mean, I'm sure you agree with Rada on all those topics as well.
Yeah, so you were talking about under lubrication, over lubrication, but that kind of only scratches the surface. We also have lubrication compatibility and suitability. Is it the right lubricant? Has it been mixed with a different lubricant? I had a really interesting one on a site of mine where they mixed a diarrhea and a lithium grease. And for anyone who doesn't know what happens to that, it kind of just goes like rubber. So we took the bearing cap off and you could just see this tube of rubber in there. So the lubrication topic is, I mean, it's huge. You've got what manufacturer, what grade, whether it's natural or manufactured. What's the word for that? Synthetic, that's the word. So you've got a whole host of different things, temperature, environment, for example, dust. You've got the speed of the item, the size of the item. There's just an incredibly large field there. Do you lubricate on time? Do you lubricate by condition? So based off, say, ultrasonics, for example, there's a vast approach. So there's an interesting one with the lubrication by time. Now, the calculations which go into that incorporate the speed of the rotating item. So the issue we find here, or I found here in the UK, is that some people who are lubricating off time-based have an item that rotates different speeds under different times. So it may be 900 RPM one day, it may be 1300 RPM the next day. So it poses an interesting question of, do you try and average that out and lubricate on time? Or is that really where lubrication on condition is going to pull miles ahead? Because otherwise we are going to under or over lubricate if we base it on the bottom end, at the top end, or even the average isn't right, because that average may change over time. It might run faster in the summer and slower in the winter, for example, for cooling fans. There's a vast amount of condition. So I myself favoring lubrication on condition, because I am seeing a lot more VFDs introduced. And then on the subject of VFDs, they do bring a lot of benefits, energy consumption, for example, but they also bring a lot of problems, stray currents, fluting problems, the grease problems I've discussed, and even problems where you're bringing it down into resonance zones, so structural resonances that they previously wouldn't experience. And if you run a motor too slow, that cooling fan on the back of the motor sometimes is not enough to cool the motor, and you have to attach a separate cooling fan onto there. So, you know, I've kind of went on a deviating topic here from the lubrication. The point was that the speed can really change that calculation by a lot. You know, it can make a difference of weeks or days to that lubrication schedule, and there's no easy way to really manage that without employing something like lubrication on condition?
Condition-based for me, really, really good for resolve problems of lubrication, you know? Literally better than a time-based lubrication, you know? Use, for example, one fan who is outside, and in Serbia, we have in 1 year temperature range from minus 10 to plus 14, you know?
Wide range.
Really wide range, you know? And in minus 10 and plus 14, you know? So
yeah,
time-based lubrication is not really good solution in that case.
And that's where it needs to take into consideration that there's much more that they have to think about when evaluating how to take care of their machinery too. Because like you just mentioned, minus 10 to positive 40 Celsius, that is a wide range of temperatures. But you need to take into all accounts of the environment when you're trying to decide on what type of maintenance you're going to provide to your machine, essentially. But Radai, Jake, thank you both for your time today. I know that, again, we're approaching our time limit, and these conversations go way too fast. They really do. So We're excited to see what everybody thinks of this podcast. So we're gonna sign off. I hope everybody has a great week, and we look forward to our next podcast already.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in as well, Radai. We really appreciate your guest appearance on this.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.